Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
If you build it, he will.
It's the City on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different things, right? We're going to get into Thunder. The Thunder win again, riding high in OKC. And it's a huge week ahead with some of the folks coming into Paycom this week. Clippers Thursday, Lakers Saturday, Knicks first of next week. I mean, you talk about the star power as far as the franchises. It's going to be fun.
Minnesota?
Minnesota, right? Yeah, Minnesota also.
Is that a home Christmas game? Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah. So there you go, four in a row, right? Four
and
in
a friend row, of mine game. Who lives up in Missouri is a big Minnesota fan. He's been hitting me up. It's like, hey, you got any ticket connections? Not really. SeatGeek.
Yeah, StubHub, bro. Yeah,
StubHub, SeatGeek, whatever. So I guess he's coming down to watch the T-Wolves.
Probably get in pretty cheap day after Christmas, I would imagine.
He's like, hey, you should join. I'm like, day after Christmas, got to go back to work. But
yeah, some of us have things to do.
Yeah.
You know what else? Trade season is now officially upon us in the NBA. You know, there's that little window between the start of the season and mid-December where some of those contracts, that they can't be moved until a certain date. Well, here we are. Everything is wide open. So here's the question. From now until February 8th, February 8th is the trade deadline. Who would make sense for OKC if you were trying to put all your chips in the middle of the table right now? And is there any chance on God's green earth that Sam Presti does something like that?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Here's the deal. There is a window here that would make some sense, and we can talk about what that is. You know what's tomorrow?
Wednesday. No, what? What's tomorrow? Oh,
National Signing Day.
NSD, that's right.
How crazy has the devaluation of signing day happened since not only moving from February to December, but then, of course, with the portal? So what is the true value of tomorrow in this portal age as far as recruiting the high school athlete? And if you think it has been devalued, can just a simple adjustment in the calendar change a lot of these things? Just changing the calendar, maybe whether it be portal opening, whether it be signing day, could that make it flow smoother, I guess, is the question. And then we'll hit the NFL again, playoff picture in both conferences. I'm going to compare the Eagles of this year to a team, another Pennsylvania team from not too long ago, with the way that they're playing right now. Here's a question. What Super Bowl matchup, if you could pick it right now, who would you want to see in the Super Bowl? And because I'm just sure that one of those teams is going to be the Cowboys, then take the Cowboys out of the Super Bowl.
Are they playing the Super Bowl in Arlington?
Not this year.
Okay, then no. Why would I want to see the Cowboys go lose on the road again?
Because you want to see the Cowboys in the Super Bowl more than you want to see
anybody else.
Well,
that's a natural answer. Yes. But, so, I mean, as far as entertainment value or X's versus O's?
Just whatever you value the most.
Got you.
would be my question. And then take the Cowboys out, put somebody else in there, a matchup you'd want to see. Did you see Rashard Mendenhall yesterday? Former Steelers running back?
Oh, yeah.
Was he doing a Chappelle skit? I mean, are we really going to have the racial draft
for the Pro Bowl? It certainly feels
like it. And then we can do our top fives in the NFL as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News. Brand new edition of that Penny News hits the website tonight at midnight. It's thepennynews.com. Of course, we've got Big Elk and Paragon TV as well when the high school basketball season returns in January. Skinny on Sports Podcast. You can find that anywhere as well. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good.
One day closer to Christmas.
Yeah. Are you done shopping?
No.
I think I am.
We're going to do a ton of shopping today at lunch.
Oh, today?
My wife and I.
Okay.
We're going to go do, we got some, what do you call it? Dirty Santa things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we had to pick up. There's a couple other things. So we're not quite done. And Kara decided last night, she said, I am sick and tired of putting this off. Let's go do it tomorrow. So, okay. Let's go do it tomorrow.
Good deal.
So we're going to do that. We got some food shopping. Here's a question for everybody. So we're going to try something. A week from Friday is when we're going to have Christmas at my mother's, when Wyatt gets back and all that, after Christmas. And we're going to try a dish that feels like has made a resurgence because of one particular television program. I've never eaten it. I don't know if I've ever seen one. But we're going to try something that has been returned to the culinary mountaintop by one Gordon Ramsay and Hell's Kitchen. You ever see that show, Hell's Kitchen?
A little bit. I'm more of a Triple D guy when it comes to food shows. But
it feels like Beef Wellington is...
Beef Wellington, huh?
Have you ever had Beef Wellington?
Maybe once or twice, yeah.
I've never had it, and we're going to attempt it.
Huh. What's that consist of? I mean...
Okay, there is...
It just looks to me like a roast. What is it?
No, it's beef tenderloin, like filet mignon. Uh-huh, a chunk of it.
Uh-huh.
And you have... There's some sort of like... Mushroom.
Now you lost me.
Like a bunch of different types of, like a spread mm-hmm. almost, that you then wrap, you put that on the tenderloin, you then wrap it in prosciutto, which is like, the Italian ham or what have you.
Okay.
And then from there you put it, wrap it in puff pastry.
Huh.
And then you cook it whole and then you kind of slice them up.
Well, let me know how it goes. That sounds good. Sounds like a mouthful, man.
That's yeah.
A lot of food right there. A lot of flavor.
Yeah, it could be a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
Depending on the different, I think we're going to try to get some different types of mushrooms than just the old button mushroom or whatever.
You know what was requested?
Maybe some shiitake. What?
For me, on Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
Because we're going to go a little, we'll do a breakfast, Christmas morning, kind of skip lunch and then a dinner on Christmas Day. So on Christmas Eve, my wife said, it has been requested that you cook sliders. I go, what is this, 4th of July? Okay.
Like on the Blackstone?
Yeah. Like, let's go. Okay. So as long as you get the mini pretzel buns. You ever had those? Those Hawaiian rolls?
I've never seen the pretzel ones.
Pretzel buns made by the Hawaiian rolls.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about flavor. You get the onions and the burger, of course, and then the pretzel bun. Very good.
Have you seen... There's an iconic burger now that is in the pretzel bun.
I keep forgetting to go grab one over there at Wendy's.
Yeah.
I love pretzel buns.
I don't know if I've ever even had a pretzel bun.
Oh, it's great. It totally changes the flavor. It changes the flavor, but it adds to the flavor. It's not just a bun. It's good. I like it. I recommend it. And a Baconator with a pretzel bun? Whew.
Maybe
it's a good thing we didn't get breakfast this morning. I think I'll go get one of those bad boys.
There's certain things that you kind of I guess, think to yourself, man, it'd be cool if you put those together. Like, for instance, and certain of them have happened. Like, for instance, who didn't in college think of, why wouldn't you make a taco out of Doritos? Bam, they did it.
Oh, man.
You know, they did it.
Talk about a mind-blown thing.
Yes, like, there
out.
It is. That's
like, whoa.
Of course you do that.
Yes.
You know, another thing that's happened lately.
Well, on that note, there needs to be more flavors. There's a ton of Dorito flavors. How come we just only got, like, two? We need, like there's spicy nacho chips that are really good. That seems like that needs to be on a taco.
Well, you got to talk to the Bell. They're the ones that
are talk to
Pete
Davidson, apparently.
Here's another one. Two sodas that have been mixed together to form maybe the greatest soda you could possibly make. Dr. Pepper and cream soda.
I knew
you
were going to say that.
Oh, my gosh. What a lovely marriage. It's like chocolate and peanut butter, back when the Reese's guy thought of that.
You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
And then, so I wonder if the pretzel bun and the Baconator coming together could be one of these iconic
moves.
I've
been requested to go to a dinner tonight at a local Mexican restaurant, so I'm trying not to eat big for lunch. So I might have to wait on the Baconator, maybe tomorrow. I'll let you know. I'm going to go light on lunch today.
Okay.
But that's the thing, those limited time things, man.
Here's another thing that I wonder who's had. If you had Beef Wellington, tell me how it is. Here's another one that I think we're going to have for Thanksgiving next year. Turducken.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever gone turducken?
No. Turkey, duck, and chicken.
Yes.
Yeah, no. That is such a cool story if you watch that Madden biography thing, documentary thing, how that came about. Someone in New Orleans came up with that recipe.
I would imagine there would be an establishment right here in town that you could probably pick up an already made turducken, right?
Really, you think?
Well, yeah. The old H&H Electronics building.
Yeah. You think they make them?
I think they could get them for sure.
No, our man Daniel probably isn't good with them. He works right across the street from him. He loves...
Danny G could just go kill us a duck, a chicken, and a turkey and make it himself.
He would.
Debone that puppy and get it together.
We need to ask him if he'll do that for us.
Surely he's had it.
Surely.
You know, my brother-in-law, Vincent, he was gifted one for like Christmas or Thanksgiving one time, and we messed around and never made it, and then their freezer malfunctioned.
It
probably would have had, there's a chance it might have had freezer burn. I mean, it was in his freezer for a couple of years. Mm. We finally kind of get up the nerve to make it. You know, because here's the deal. Back then, there was another fellow that was around that's not around now that took, like, those meals pretty serious, and he was not much of a change guy. Once he found something he liked, that's what we had.
Sure, yeah.
And now that he's no longer with us, we've started experimenting a little bit more. Just to get, you know, if it's not any good, we're not going to have to hear about it, right? So it's been a little bit more adventurous in the meals around the holiday time than it once was. I mean, it used to just be prime rib for Christmas and
we have
not turkey for Thanksgiving.
We have discovered, and this really, I think it came from my mom's side, where, you know, everyone has a Christmas dinner, it felt like. But I remember on my mom's side, going to my grandparents up in Alva or Tacoma, they always have the brunch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a bit like breakfast casseroles, monkey bread. You know what monkey bread is? Mm-hmm. Basically like a giant cinnamon roll that you pick apart. All kinds of great breakfast food. And then we'd skip lunch and just have like a light dinner because that breakfast would fill us up. That's turned into a tradition in our house.
Mm-hmm.
My wife really loves to make the breakfast stuff, and so I look forward to that. So
we
kind of avoid, but we don't get the turkey. We save those for Thanksgiving, those meals. Christmas is like a brunch, a big breakfast brunch in the morning. Wake up, open the presents, eat the breakfast.
We go Eggs Benedict.
Mm.
Our man Joe, here he is on the text line. He comes to Mom's house. Eggs Benedict, maybe a mimosa.
Well, that may have
could
be
possibly
a part
be.
Of the breakfast, too. Yeah.
You know, a brunch, any place you go on brunch, you can get a mimosa.
Yeah.
or a Bloody Mary. Seems like there's the two breakfast drinks.
Then there's a nap. Like, I love it because the girls go take a nap. I'm like, I'll sit in my chair and find whatever sports is on, basketball or football, whatever, and then I find myself dozing off too.
So it would be like the Wellington.
People are saying they're hungry now.
Well, I'm already there. With the leftover prime rib, so we would go with those Eggs Benedict for breakfast, and then the leftover prime rib a lot of times, and we would make those. Have you ever had the Pioneer Woman's Drunken Mushrooms?
No,
you don't like mushrooms.
Not a mushroom fan.
Gosh. So you just cook them all day. It's big old button mushrooms, and you pour wine and some different seasonings, and they just simply cook all day long. Oh, they're delicious. And so with your King's Hawaiian rolls that you're talking about, that's what for lunch, some leftover prime rib with those mushrooms and a little cheese, and make sliders out of that.
Yeah.
That's always good. A hit.
Final thought on food. We got some canned goods from my sister-in-law up in Colorado in the mail. Jalapenos that were the
hottest. Oh, that she made. Oh, gotcha.
Jalapenos were the hottest. We put them on some chili. Oh, my goodness. Me and Allie were looking at each other like, what is it? It was hot. And she also sent, I haven't tried them yet, just written on the it's a jar of cherries. On the top it says, Jack Daniel's cherries.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, is this what I think it is? Haven't tried them yet. They look good.
Okay, speaking of hot, it's been requested. So in our fantasy football league, I got last.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that done? Is that a done deal?
Yeah, apparently, you know, the season isn't over. We're still playing games in a bracket. But
there's no way.
For this purpose. Now there is a way. But okay. For this purposes, I've already been told I'm last. Even though there's still two more
by
weeks.
The worst commissioner ever, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. my name is changed of our team. It starts with an F, and then the commish.
Oh no! Oh, ouch!
Just kidding, but anyhow. But there's a faction of the people that play fantasy football with us that want me to eat that thing on the air.
You'd have to do it at the end of the hour, because you do it at the beginning of the hour, you'd be done.
Do we think this is a good idea?
No, it's not. You might say some words we're not supposed to be saying.
That's what I'm afraid. That's exactly what I said. I said, you know what? And they're like, no, you can promote it for weeks. Get people to listen.
You can set up a camera in here, put it on the Facebook
page. That's what they really want.
People want to see this.
They want to hear it and see it all at the same time.
I'm on board, but it has to be towards the end of the hour.
I'm scared to death that, yeah, words.
Maybe I should be on that side so I can turn off your mic.
Words that might come out of my mouth. And I thought, well, maybe we could film it and then kind of play it if
you would
that
need,
would work.
Bring some milk, you know? Are they going to allow that?
Oh, hell, yes. Yes. Listen, they don't have a choice with that. I'm bringing milk.
Good.
You can guarantee that. See, there you go. I can't even talk about it without cursing almost. Yeah.
That's good.
So anyway, that's something we can kick around for coming up. It's maybe a special promotion just so that, you know. It's crazy. We're still playing.
Not a bad idea.
Still season going, but I've been ruled last. Two more weeks.
Just because you're on air, that's why. No one else is on air.
Well, thank goodness.
They're picking on you.
Nobody's listening either, because at least in that group. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
The Skinny on Sports. Oh,
oh. Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We thank our man Rodney Skinner and the gang down at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. That means they're the most experienced at it. Free local delivery, drive-through pickup. They've got curbside testing and vaccinations. And, of course, those blister packs that we talk about each and every week. That's their long-term care unit packaging. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust at 809 North Main. Give them a call, 225-2121. All right, Jared, what do you want to go? Or do you want to go to the NFL? You want to go to the signing day stuff? Where are you headed here?
Let's talk about signing day because it's my least interested thing, so we could quickly get done with it. It has become the most least interesting thing in college football for me because of the transfer portal. I know you're still big and you still think recruiting is and for the most part it is. It's very important. But it just feels like I'll just give my final thoughts on this. Why get excited about kids who are just going to jump in the portal anyways? And I'm not just talking about OU or OSU. This is happening across the country. So it's kind of hard for me. I got more excited that OU got that tight end who kind of looks like a Taysom Hill to me, who can run the Wildcat, was a quarterback, looks like very versatile, and I think they're going to have fun with that guy. I got more excited about that than whoever they sign tomorrow.
Than David Stone?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, that is exciting. He seems like a 100% OU guy. He has been on board with it with his tweets and everything, but Caden Green, just days before he entered the portal, was welcoming guys to Norman. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know. I just can't get – I'm like, oh, this is nice. This is great. But does he get disgruntled sometime in November next year and say, I can make more money in Missouri?
Do you think – here's a question. Do you think that – because the more I've thought about this – I don't really think there's much difference. Now, outside of just a handful of dudes, like a Caden Green. But there's so much of this portal stuff to me. Guys, it's so overblown because they weren't playing anyways.
Yeah.
Now, there are... now
the media is a big reason why people overblow that. Like, people are...
Now, there are guys
they
that
make... it look like a ship is sinking when that's really not the case.
I mean, outside of Caden Green, I'm actually kind of surprised that Gabriel leaving Oklahoma didn't cause more of a... I guess people, maybe they were aware enough of Jackson Arnold, but I'm actually shocked that wasn't the ship, oh my gosh, the ship is sinking in Norman moment when Gabriel gets in the port, when he was literally, I mean, Venables can say whatever he wants to, but I'm not going to say he was encouraged, but he also knew, hey man, that's not, and this isn't your job. You're competing for this job. And quite frankly, if it comes down to it, would you rather you lose him for a year or Jackson Arnold for two or three?
Yeah.
That's
always
a pretty easy choice,
it's always
right?
The assumption like this was going to be Gabriel's last year in Norman. There's always that assumption.
How
right?
do you think he Sorry. Feels at this moment right now?
Gabriel?
Yes. Did you see what happened yesterday?
Yeah, I saw the guy from UCLA.
Dante Moore.
Up there. So now he's suddenly in a quarterback battle.
Is he, or is Dante Moore willing to sit a year? No one seems willing to sit a year.
Why go in the portal to go sit?
Well,
but, you know, Spencer Sanders did, and now he apparently...
He's done.
He's done.
He can't play anymore.
He can't play anymore. Did he go for a waiver or something?
I don't know. I just saw that this morning and
such an
hadn't
odd
really
way
read
to
it.
End a really... what was a promising career.
Yeah, that was that whole the whole last year of Spencer Sanders' life has to just be like a whirlwind
yeah.
or something.
But isn't that the point of going into the portal, to find a better home, to get more playing time? I think that's besides NIL and the ability to probably make more money somewhere else through NIL deals. But isn't the driving force is, I don't think I'm playing enough here. I want to go there because I can play more. I have a spot if I go to this school. So why would a quarterback like this guy, this Dante Moore from UCLA, leave UCLA to go be second string?
Well,
somebody
just
had to tell him, you got a job. You're going to fight. You're going to compete for a job.
And maybe at that time.
So does he enter the portal again if he doesn't get it?
Or he just is okay with waiting a year
yeah.
and learning and figuring out the system and then be ready to go for Oregon next year. Or the year after, I guess next year is the year after, whatever. But, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of difference for the most part because we already saw this happening. Guys were processed out of the program that didn't live up to whatever the recruiting hype was. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't as public because they weren't making it known, hey, I'm going to Texas State. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's Caden Green is an anomaly, right? At least for OU so far. But we've seen guys like him all across the country. This is just the first time it's bit OU in the tail with a young guy that looked like he was a promising player, and especially at that position of need along the offensive line as they shift from the Big 12 to the SEC. I think as much as the portal is the thing and it's all the rage in college football right now, I still believe if you look at the programs that are constantly winning, they're recruiting high school athletes at the highest level. Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. You know, those teams are the ones, they're using the portal, and I've said this 100 times, they're using the portal the way that the JUCO ranks used to be used. And that is, if you miss on some guys out of high school, or some now a couple guys leave because they're not happy, you have to find a plug and play, which that used to be what the JUCO was for. Mm-hmm. You know, oh man, we got a freshman left tackle coming in. We like him, but he's not going to be ready yet. All right, what about JUCO? Oh, there's one. Boom, let's let him play for a year as the other guy gets acclimated to college and gets strong. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the way I think that the big time winning programs use the portal. You know, you look at Trey Burton at Alabama. Receivers a little bit lacking. Okay, let's pull him. Oh, he came from Georgia. Look at that. That's even better. We stole one of theirs to get one of, you know, ours. But the sweeping roster changes that we're seeing at, say, Colorado again. You know, Michigan State did it that one year. And then where's Michigan State? Down the tubes. Because you can't just change your team every year through the portal and have any kind of cohesion and building a program. Tomorrow is still, in my opinion, the most important day of the year for high school football or for college football teams. And then, but now the portal is able, it's almost a quicker fix for some recruiting errors, right?
No, yeah. Yeah.
And that's the way, this isn't, teams aren't just going to abandon recruiting high school athletes to go just have brand new teams in the portal. That's not sustainable, right, is what I'm saying. It's happening, and it's being forced to happen, I guess, in Colorado for the second straight year. But we saw how that panned out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as much as it has lost its luster in a lot of the hoopla of it, I still think tomorrow's the most important day there is. Because, yes, some of those guys might be gone. And can you look at a dude that's played 2 years of college football and have a better idea of how he's going to perform than some 18-year-old kid? Yeah, probably so. But at the same time, you have to have those classes of 25 to 30 to continue the depth part of it, right? I mean, that's the thing I think is so overlooked. Oh, we're bringing that guy in from that one guy in from the portal to start. Yeah, what if he gets hurt? You can't just keep on bringing him in from the portal. They have to be in your program.
They have to be there.
At least providing depth until they get ready to go. And I think a lot of, you know, mentioning David Stone, obviously we saw a little bit of PJ this year. The one caveat that I would say to that, even against myself, is that in this portal age, the guys that are the most important, like to Oklahoma, moving into the SEC, it is a little bit harder to get excited about those guys when you don't even know if they're going to be ready to play by – maybe they do leave when they're ready. You know what I mean? Like you grow them to be ready to go, and then that's when if they leave, that's when it really sucks, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, my gosh, we've been waiting on this guy for 2 years now. You know, like Gerald McCoy, golly, he redshirted. We know he's one of the 5-star, blah, blah, blah. And then he's gone. You know, that's where the portal really stings you. And I don't know what you can do about that with young interior offensive and defensive linemen. They just, I mean, listen, sometimes a 17 or 18-year-old kid ain't ready to play a 23-year-old.
Oh, no.
You know, and that's the part of the portal.
Not everybody's a Tommy Harris.
That's right. And that's the part of the portal age that really does scare you and almost desensitizes you to being excited about these guys because of what we saw with Caden Green.
Right. I wonder if we're still in this, are we still in the early stages of the portal era where, and we are seeing it, you're right, where the Blue Bloods are still, who still recruit at a high level and make a day like tomorrow very important. I mean, you look at recruiting rankings, I mean, the familiar names are up there, you know, especially in the top 10. But there's, you know, people like Lincoln Riley, it feels like he's almost abandoning recruiting and going straight to portal guys. You know what I mean? He's okay with losing them. He can just go get them. He's always said it's a two-way street. And I wonder if, as a result from last year, did that tell us that he doesn't value recruiting and look what it did? Or is it still too early? Is the jury still out to say that?
Probably still a little bit early.
Because right now, like according to ESPN, USC is at 18. Well, I don't know what they were last year. I think they were up to higher than that. But does he care? And if he doesn't care, are we going to get more results like that, like we just saw out of Southern Cal this past season? And it's kind of vindicating. Go, hey, recruiting still matters.
I think 100%. I mean, Colorado's the test case right now.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah.
Because what did they have? 80 something new players on the roster this year. Everybody's like, oh, look at Deion. He's the man. He knows what he's doing. 4-8.
Yeah.
And now it's happening again. You know, when he says some of the things he says, I just don't know if you can continually, like, over-recruit your guys in that bulk in the portal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you can do that over the course of a decade. I think you can raise the level of talent, but I think a lot of it comes from the high school ranks, like over-recruiting a kid here. But maybe you can do it individually in the portal at a certain position at a certain year, and maybe even a couple of positions you can do that. But as far as just complete roster overhaul and think that that's going to be the way to do it, I just don't think that that's it. I just don't. And that's – you can try it. And, you know, Michigan State, it worked for a year. Now look what happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's without the high school recruits that are waiting in the wings, you can't just continually overhaul 75% of your roster and turn that over year in and year out and have sustained success, I don't think. Now, I could be proven wrong. And if, you know, Deion is going to be kind of that guy that we're going to have to figure, I mean, because he's going all in. Like, you know, as much as Riley seems like he's kind of backing away from the high school stuff, Deion's all in on the portal and just revamping a roster every single day.
I think we are in this stage of we're waiting for results. We're waiting to see what this, mm-hmm. you know, is it going to work at Colorado? Clearly didn't last year, but is this a process of totally revamping the roster via the portal? You know, there's that crazy, I feel like I'm harping on Lincoln Riley. It didn't occur to me. He has not recruited a kid to play quarterback that has stayed on campus. Does that make sense? It's always been a transfer guy or a portal guy.
Yeah, either came to him or left.
Came to him or left, yeah.
With Malachi Nelson jumping in.
I wonder if that, and again, we're waiting for results. Is that a red flag? I mean, did Nelson leave because he chose Will Howard over Nelson? I've heard Nelson might have a bum shoulder and there's some issues there. I don't know. And he's telling me, hey, time for you to move on. I'm going to get this kid.
And see, that's my point. That always happened.
Yeah.
That would always happen before the portal. You just wouldn't – it wasn't so in your face that a guy was – you know what I mean? But anyway.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, there's reason to be excited about tomorrow because I just think it's the way you build your program. Can you supplement and help on a year-to-year basis with the portal? Absolutely. There's no doubt that that's true, especially if you need a quarterback. And I think quarterback, offensive and defensive linemen are kind of the thing. You might mix in a receiver here and there if you really like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But to me, those are the spots that you see the portal really helping some teams out.
Yeah. Final thought, do you think coaches, when they're out recruiting and they listen, We're interested in you. But we're not ready to offer just yet. Go. I mean, again, it's kind of like a JUCO route. Go sign with whoever you want. couple years, enter the portal, and we'll take you if you develop the way we think you can develop.
Yeah, that's it's risky because everybody's
coaches are telling them that.
I think it's risky because then they're open to everybody.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of times you could back in the day kind of place somebody at a certain JUCO. It was almost a feeder system to certain schools. You know, NEO was kind of that in this state for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's that. I don't know if it stays that loyal.
Yeah, if I'm a recruit and I'm a player and I'm thinking, you're telling me this? Well, if you want me 2 years from now, take me now.
Well, and I think there's also guys are more willing to not necessarily wait on that D1 offer because they know if they go to a smaller school and rock it, they're going to be – the portal's wide open for them to go then at that point anywhere.
Yeah.
And maybe there's places – that they would have loved to have gone or dream schools that would never even look at them out of high school.
Right.
You have one great year in the MAC, and all of a sudden, Alabama wants me. That's what I always wanted to go anyway. Yeah.
So it's such a risky pitch by a coach because the player go, you could be fired in 2 years.
Yeah, I would. That would not be a pitch I would make.
Yeah, or you retire in 2 years or take an NFL job.
I do think something that we see – different schools kind of utilizing this idea, and Oklahoma is certainly one of them, and that is to use NIL toward helping walk-ons pay for school.
Yeah.
You know, how many, we all know the names of Oklahoma kids that Oklahoma or Oklahoma State didn't offer that then went out of state and played really well somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The willingness to leave is shrinking down because now not only is OU offering those kids as a preferred walk-on pay in their school through the NIL, but they're also starting to get dudes that have pretty good offer lists and still are willing to do that because it's not costing them anything. They're still, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's essentially like they have a scholarship through the NIL even though they're walking on. I mean, the guy that might be the player of the year in the state is that way.
Right.
Andy Bass.
Right.
I mean, you know, and I think that's a genius move because then instead of letting those guys go to a JUCO or to a smaller school and then opening up the pool for everybody to recruit those guys out of the portal, they're on your campus. You're developing them the right way, and then you get to monitor whether or not you think that they're worthy. In your program, you know, and I think that's maybe instead of like saying, hey, go, you know what, if you're a borderline in the minds of the coaching staff, if you're kind of a borderline guy, heck, let's take a chance on him. We'll pay, you know, and that works really for both sides because the player gets a school paid for even though he doesn't have a scholarship, and then the school is able to try to develop that guy into something that they think he can be, but they're not necessarily willing to risk one of those 25 slots. So I think that's a genius for the schools that are doing that. Last question about moving the calendar. And Joe asked, would moving the opening of the portal to after bowl games help getting the players to play? I think that's a really interesting idea.
Some of those borderline players, I bet,
well,
who want to get noticed, sure.
Well, and you think about so right now, conference championship weekend happens the first weekend of December, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got signing day tomorrow. So that's a 2.5 weeks. And that's a huge time for coaches to be out on the road recruiting, but at the same time, how do they – it almost feels like a free agency leading up to the draft. Or draft and then having free agency, right? Because it feels like if you did wait, say you waited for the portal to open, you know, January the 9th, after the day after the national title game, you have that time, you go into the second signing day in February, but you have those guys that, you know, stay. I think it helps with coaches. I mean, I would move the signing day first off. Because one of the worst, those coaches feel like they have to make decisions, and I think it's starting to make in-season firings more of a thing, and I hate when you see that.
Yep.
So, you know, if the signing day, let's say the portal opens after the national title game. And then the signing day, instead of being December, what if it was like July?
Yeah.
Where guys have the whole summer to go. And then the second one can be in February like it always has been. But, you know, I think there's a bunch of guys that want to sign. You know, they're done. They know where they want to go by the time they're rolling into their senior years.
Right, they want to get it out of the way.
Just get it out of the way. And for those, you can. And for the others, then you wait till December. That gives the coaches a chance to, you know, evaluate all year and the entirety of the senior year. And I think there's a lot of merit to what Joe's saying there to move that portal.
Yeah.
Not only just for bowl games, but just for the calendar. The calendar just seems it's so scrunched up right now that it causes more issues than it does solves problems with college football. And, you know, the rules can stay the same, what have you, but just change that calendar up a little bit to make it more conducive to maybe even some continuity to rosters, much instead of what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thought.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we can talk NFL. We can talk Thunder. Got an interesting high school basketball question on the text line.
I didn't realize that was tonight. I thought everybody was done.
I had no ideas tonight.
I'll be watching.
Just to see.
See what happens.
What's the style? We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
The Skinny on Sports.
There's no crying in baseball.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug down at 809 North Main Street. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They've got the individual packaging for your daily meds. They call it convenience packaging. So no longer do you have to get all your pills out of the wherever you store them. The word just flew right out of my head.
Like your pill caddy?
I meant like the drawer. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Man, it's like I lost it. Anyhow, you don't have to get those out. Each of you, you know, you got bottles of pills. Some people have tons of pills they have to take.
Oh, yeah.
And if you had to load your pill caddy each and every, say, Sunday, you do it for the week, you know how long that could take? And if you mess them up, you know how it might hurt you.
Oh, yeah.
Just let Paul Jones Drug do that. That's what they do. Individual packaging. You just open them up, take your medication, and whoop. Cabinet. Get them out of your cabinet. That's what I found the
cabinet.
Word. Cabinet. Yes. Anyway, Paul Jones Drug, you can take those. They individually package your daily medication. Makes it so easy. That's why they call it convenience. Durable medical equipment, that's your walkers, canes, crutches. They accept most insurance. And also, this time of year is the perfect time to do what? Go check out all the gifts, the greeting cards that they have down there as well. Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main, care you can trust. Yeah, there we go, medicine cabinet. We've got it on the text line. I thought of it before I looked down. Hey, a couple of questions on the text line about the NIL and the portal and all that. One was, can Division II also pay athletes NIL? The answer to that is yes, and even into the high school ranks. I think a lot of people that are looking at what's going on at Missouri recruiting wise believe that the Missouri legislature that passed a bill allowing high school kids to start accepting NIL payments once they sign the letters of intent, a lot of people think that has bolstered the recruiting high school wise in Missouri. One, Williams Winery, number top five player in the country, defensive lineman that is staying home, and most people believe a big part of that is because coming up Thursday, or heck, even went tomorrow, as soon as he signs on the dotted line, he'll be able to start making money in the NIL as a high school athlete in the state of Missouri because of what they passed legislature wise. So that's one of those things that's a pretty big advantage, right? I mean, for what they've got. The last question or the last comment Why would a coach want a kid that wants to get in the portal?
Well, you don't, but you don't know they want it in the portal. They're not, a kid's not going to say, yeah, coach, I'm going to sign with you, but I'm going to
no,
the
I mean,
portal.
I mean,
I'm confused.
Well, once you get like Caden Green, let's say.
Right.
Who? Well, I guess to me this comment is saying,
oh, why,
if he wants
why,
to leave,
why
just let him go.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, why would a coach want that guy staying around if they want, you know, if the portal, I guess so.
If they were even
if they jump in
it.
And
well,
then pull back out.
Mike Gundy was kind of in that scenario. He said, he's kind of said it, hasn't he? He said, if you go in the portal, I'm done. You're done. I'm done with you. Right? Kind of did to Sanders, I think.
Yeah.
He said, more or less, he said, you're in the portal, I'm done. And Sanders wanted to reconsider that, allegedly. That mm-hmm. wanted to say, well, I actually want to come back. And Gundy said, no, you entered the portal. We're done with you. See ya.
Breaking news. I was just about to say, well, what if Caden Green wants to come back to OU? Breaking news, he's not.
Missouri?
He's committed to Missouri.
Yeah.
I think we all saw that coming.
Right.
With what they're being able to keep at home. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting. I wonder how much he got paid.
Oh, I got the bag. He got it.
I'd love to know how much.
I'd love to hear the true story of how he left. A lot of shady stuff going around.
Listen to
that involved his parents.
Have you listened
dad,
to Gabe and Teddy
I've
on this
some
subject?
Tweets and
listen to that. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
it's pretty pretty interesting. You want to do NFL?
Yeah, sure.
Let's look at the playoff picture. In both conferences, if the playoffs started today, the in vogue hottest team in the league still wouldn't be in the playoffs. You know who that is?
Houston?
The Bills.
Oh, really?
Bills not in the playoffs.
Not eliminated, but they're not in.
Oh, no. They're in a
they're in
one,
the hunt.
Gosh, Lee, 1-2-3-4 way tie for the last couple of spots. Mm. So at this point in the AFC, the Ravens would be the one seed. Then you got Dolphins, Chiefs, Jags as the division winners, 2-4 in that order. So your matchups would be Jacksonville versus Cleveland. Cleveland 9-5, so they're a game ahead of that giant tie for a wild card spot. So you have Jags, Cleveland. You'd have Kansas City, Cincinnati, and you'd have Indy, Miami. Could you possibly think of a worse wild card weekend than that?
That sounds boring.
I mean,
in the AFC, that
Kansas
sounds...
City, Cincinnati would be awesome if Joe Burrow wasn't hurt.
Right.
But I mean, no offense to Gardner Minshew, but come on, bro. The Bills have to make the playoffs
to keep all this interesting.
They've got
they
to make
like
the playoffs.
A team. If they get in the playoffs, they can maybe go on a run.
Yeah, we need the Bills in. In my opinion, we need the Bills.
They almost feel like the second best team in the AFC.
I would
at this
really,
point.
I would. Matter of fact, if it was up to me, no offense to Jake Browning, it's been a heck of a story how well he's played for Cincinnati. I mean, he's been awesome. Minshew's looking pretty decent. Get out of there. Give me the Texans and the Bills. I want to see C.J. Stroud in the playoffs, and I definitely want to see the Bills in the playoffs. Who doesn't want to see? Who wouldn't love to see Bills at Chiefs? Wild card round.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So that's the AFC. NFC, you've got San Francisco as the number one seed at the moment. Dallas back as the division winner after last night with Philly losing. Detroit third, Tampa fourth. So those are the wild card or the division winners. You'd have Philly at Tampa. You'd have Minnesota at Detroit, and you'd have the Rams at Dallas. There's another four-way tie right here in this for the two wild card spots as well, with Seattle and New Orleans on the outside looking in. That ain't great either.
Not a lot of juicy matchups there, no.
Uh-uh. I mean, I guess you
know, maybe Philly at Tampa Bay would be fun.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But Philly would win.
I'm afraid. Let's talk about Philly. You know who Philly reminds me of right now?
I do, but tell the audience.
The 2020 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Refresh my memory about that team.
It was the COVID year.
Right.
They started 11-0.
Yeah.
Big Ben came back because, you know, he had the surgery the year before. He came back. He was okay, but he still kind of turned it over a little bit. But they found ways to win. You know, you looked up 11-0. God, it feels like they ought to be 8-3. Kind of like Philly was 10-1. And you're like, yeah, how did they win those last couple of games?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, when the bottom dropped out. Pittsburgh that year was the only team ever to start 11-0 and then lose three straight. They would end up losing 4 of 5, including being eliminated by Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. And a big part of that was Ben throwing picks to start that game. Look at Philly this year. 10-1, wasn't sure how. Jalen not playing great. And now you see three straight losses, and Jalen's been bad the last couple. Is Philly on that? Feels like they're on that same kind of train track toward an early exit. Has been off for Philadelphia all year long.
I don't know. Obviously, the turnovers are bad. I mean, you can't turn the ball over in this league and have success, and it feels like that's catching up with them. But I wonder if the offenses are starting to figure out the defense, too, on the other side of the football.
Well, Philadelphia's defense has been awful this year.
Exactly. And now that's catching up with them.
Yeah.
So Patricia's calling the defense now?
Starting
was that
last
instituted
night.
Last night? Mm-hmm. Man, I think that's risky to change that up.
They looked better until the end.
Until the end. When they that one pass, they looked horrible.
You know, Jalen Hurts it's very interesting. His stats tell you that he's been okay or even good. 66%, he's thrown for 3,300 yards, but only 238 a game. And here's the big number. 19 touchdowns, but 12 interceptions.
Yeah.
And he's lost 4 fumbles. So he's turned the ball over 16 times in 14 games. And it feels like there has been, just with watching him, it feels like there's been a pretty major regression this year in the play of Jalen Hurts. Now, I don't know that he's healthy. You know, it seems like he's a little bit hobbled with one of his knees. You know, there's always something, right? There's this question, oh, didn't he have the flu last night? Maybe, I guess. But flu or no flu, he just hasn't. From the very beginning of the season, he just hasn't seemed in control of that offense the way he has in the past. And guess what? It makes a little bit of sense because you remember what happened in the offseason for Philadelphia? They lost both coordinators. Jonathan Gannon went to Arizona. Shane Steichen went to Indianapolis. So it kind of makes some sense with Hurts not being as familiar with what's going on. Mm-hmm. And maybe teams starting to figure him out just a little bit as well. I don't know. Philly just – it no matter what their record has been, it just has felt there's
feels
a
off.
Little off. They just – never have completely kicked it into gear, even at 10-1. There was still like, God, how are they winning these games? I, you know, they think about that Kansas City game that they won. Hurts threw for like 40 yards in the first half. I mean, their offense was putrid, but somehow, some way, they figured out a way, you know, to win those games. And maybe that was
somehow beat the Bills. Somehow.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's just maybe that's more a fool's gold than we realized at the time.
Maybe the turning point was that 49ers game.
They got handed to them.
They did whatever they wanted to. Mm-hmm. To
Dallas did the same.
But 49ers doing that to a lot of teams. But still, sometimes you see that, here's the blueprint, America. Here it is. And they never felt like they had momentum going into the Dallas game. They never felt like they're going to win that game. Last night, that was almost a heartbreaker. I mean, it is a heartbreaker because they felt like, well, they got this one thing won. They should be fine. And then here comes a backup quarterback.
Yeah, Drew Lock goes 95 yards in a minute and 50 beat them.
How many third down? A couple of third down, but aided by a penalty on one of them. I mean, making throws and
– oh, the throw to Smith and Jigba, great cat. I mean, that was a great play.
Incredible.
Third and 10, wasn't it? On that play. I think it was third and 10 yeah. where they threw the touchdown pass.
No, I'd be concerned if I'm Philly.
I would too.
The next three, though, no. So the scenario, if they win out, they win the East, no matter what happens with Dallas.
Is that true?
I think that's what I heard. But if they slip up once and Dallas wins out, obviously that they.
I wish I knew what the tiebreakers were. I know why Dallas is leading right now, because they're 4-1 in the division. Philly's just 3-1, so they haven't. They haven't played.
But they got two more division games. Philly does.
Yeah, and Dallas has one. Now, the conference records, they both have three losses in conference now. So we got to figure out what the tiebreaker ends up being.
Yeah.
Because they both lost to San Francisco.
Yeah, it's kind of an identical path, isn't it?
Did Philly play the Lions?
No.
So if Dallas beats the Lions, I wonder if that works.
That might be in their favor.
But I do think you're right. If both teams went out, it seems like I've read or heard that Philly would be the division champ, and I'm just not sure why at the moment.
I'm not sure either.
We'll have to dig into that tiebreak scenario. I know why Dallas is ahead right now, just because they have a better division record, because they played more division games. If you could choose the Super Bowl right now, that would interest you. However that means, because it's the team you want to win, because it's a game you want to see, whatever that is, who would you pick?
Well, I made kind of a list in no particular order. As far as entertainment value, best team versus best team, and right now it's 49ers and Ravens, so I'd love to see that. And some others I put in here just for entertainment value. It's not what I think is going to happen.
Right. No, no,
okay,
no.
It's what I think would be fun to watch. I think Philly and Ravens would be kind of fun. I think Lions and Dolphins, for some reason, was because of the contrasting styles of the Lions defending the Dolphins. And then, you know, it just.
That could be a boatload of points in that one.
Yeah.
They could both score.
That could be a lot of fun. And then for nostalgia purposes, I know we got it on Sunday, but a Bills-Cowboys Super Bowl would be kind of interesting. And for that matter, Dallas versus anybody, right? If Dallas gets in the Super Bowl, it's going to be one of the most watched Super Bowls in years, because it's Dallas, because you're either going to have – it's the most loved and the most hated franchise in the world. So everybody's going to tune in to either root for them or root against them against whoever they play, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why
– Absolutely.
Dallas versus anybody.
Yeah, I would – in my order
– Oh, and 49ers Chiefs. Sorry, I forgot to throw that in there.
I would go – for me – just for work purposes, I would love to see Dallas beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
That one we might not ever let down.
I would love to see that. I would be scared to death it'd go the other way, and then we'd have to hear about it every single day for eternity.
Yeah.
But if you could guarantee me that Dallas would beat Kansas City in the Super Bowl, I would choose that one first, no matter what. Number two, I would choose, because I love when they play and their jerseys are on the same field and it's just the icons of the icons, Dallas-Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
I love when they play, because of the jersey contrast. It's in, you know, rubbing it in Possum's face when Dallas beat Pittsburgh would be great. And the nostalgia.
Scotty G would never come back.
Oh, and Scott. Yeah, yeah.
He would never come see us again.
Absolutely. And then the Dallas-Buffalo would be cool too.
For nostalgia purposes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Outside of that, though, if you take the Cowboys out of it, I have a hard time getting excited about many scenarios with San Francisco in the game, because I'm afraid they're going to kick everybody's butt.
I know.
If they're healthy.
I know. That's why I said 49ers Chiefs.
They just seem so good.
Because you get a Chiefs team that's been there, and there's their edge, right? Against a 49ers team that's been oh so close the last couple years, they just can't get to the Super Bowl. So that's why I put 49ers Chiefs. Because Mahomes will go in with an edge, going, hey, this is old hat. We do this all the time. We play for Super Bowls.
I think the best game.
But they would get destroyed.
Yeah. I think the best game would either be if we're putting the Niners in.
Who would give them the best game?
Niners-Ravens or Niners-Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm afraid. Have they played? I'm afraid that if it was the Dolphins, I would be so scared that the 49ers would just obliterate them.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe their offense could have something with the speed and that. I mean, I think the Dolphins would be fun to play about anybody except the Niners, because I'm afraid the Niners would just crush them. But they you know, they're a fun team to watch. There's no doubt about that. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're talking about ratings, it's Dallas and whoever. They are the needle.
Yeah. People would tune in to watch them lose or watch them win. But that means everybody would tune in.
How about, for listening purposes, you know what would be the most fun? For listening for like later on? If somehow, some way, we got Bucks Steelers.
That would be enjoyable.
And the Bucks won.
That would be enjoyable. You know what one Super Bowl I've always wanted since about 1994? The Dolphins and Eagles. And we'll have Jim Carrey dressed up as Ace Ventura to flip the coin or something. Have Snowflake perform at halftime. I just watched that movie last night, so it's on my mind. It came on
Dolphins and anybody. I think Dolphins and anybody would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, in today's world, everyone wants to see a lot of points. That would almost guarantee it.
You'd see a lot of something. Yep. A lot of speed, yep. That's for sure.
Yep.
All right, yeah. What's your top five?
My top five after this week, Lions are back in my top five. They looked really good against the Jets, shutting them out, which I don't care who you are. I mean, you're shutting out somebody in the NFL. That's pretty good. Number four, Chiefs. Number three, I got Dolphins vaulting back up in there. Number two, Ravens. Number one, 49ers.
Yeah, Niners, Ravens, one and two. And then after that, it gets kind of almost pick your poison a little bit. I'm not going to fall into the prisoner of the moment just yet and fire the Bills in there, even though they might be one of the best five teams. They played two good weeks in a row. Let's tap the brakes on the Bills just a tick.
Yeah, well, where are they next week?
Let me look here.
I don't care who they play. Where is it?
The Bills play the Patriots at home. And then at Dolphins. At Dolphins to finish.
At Dolphins. See?
Here's what they need.
It's
they need
road stuff for me.
Well, they need Dallas to win.
So is Dallas.
If Dallas beats Miami, then Buffalo can win that division. Because they've already beat Miami once. Now they'd have to go down there and do it again. If they do that, they'd both end up with 11 and 6. And it would be Buffalo's division with the tiebreak because they beat him twice. I'd probably put – see, I don't like the Chiefs at all. I just don't – I'm off of the Chiefs. But I don't like Dallas and Philly either. Detroit 3? Is that too high? No, Miami 3. Detroit 4, and I guess Chiefs 5. With Bills, Cowboys, and Eagles just outside. I'll go with that, I guess. Dallas beats Miami, they can jump back into the top five. What about the Browns? You like the Browns at all?
I like Joe Flacco a lot.
Dude, Joe Flacco.
I like the story. It's really cool. I don't like the
Did
Browns
you see
as an organization,
that throw he made?
He threaded a needle, didn't he?
To Amari and end up a touchdown down the side. That was an unbelievable throw.
He's so confident. And he looks like he's just a man that wants to prove everybody wrong. Like, I'm still a valuable quarterback in this league.
Man.
I'm rooting for the guy.
Joe Flacco.
I'm rooting for him. I like him.
Mr. Elite. He called himself that.
I like the confidence.
That's what made everybody mad about him.
I like the confidence.
Nothing wrong with Joe Flacco.
No, there's nothing wrong with him. Get a capable quarterback with that defense. That's a dangerous team. He's very capable.
We've already seen him do this.
Yeah.
With the Ravens.
Yep.
Be pretty good, don't screw up, and watch the defense work. Win the Super Bowl. Everybody have a great Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medication safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.